Okay, welcome. My name is Divine. This is the Motivation Monday podcast. And in today's podcast, I'll be talking about how to review your world and MBME questions. Towards the end, I will talk about the Step 2 CK Step 3 review course I'm having coming up next week. It's especially targeted to people that are going to be taking the exams at the last possible moment to get their scores for ERAS. So let's just jump right into it. And really today I'm just going to be talking in principles to organize myself so we can get through the content I want us to get through. So in terms of reviewing UWorld and MBME questions, principle number one is it's actually really helpful to have a nice introduction to the material before jumping into practice questions. The thing is, you learn a lot more from questions when you have some kind of pre-existing foundation. And to be honest with you, it actually cuts down on the amount of time you're going to spend reviewing information during as you're going through your questions, right? So the thing is, there are many, There are many common pieces of advice that exist out there, not just even when we're reviewing UWorld or MBME questions, but even with like the ERAS application process. And the thing is, many of these things are just misconceptions. They're really not true, right? So you see some people, they are like, just go straight to questions, just go straight to questions. Again, as a person that has tutored one-on-one and also in like large groups, you know, thousands of people at this point, I've seen many people succeed by just having some background before you then start attacking the material. Right? But when you have like absolutely no background and you're just jumping into questions, you see some people, even unfortunately, some med school administrators peddle this advice, just do questions and you'll be fine. And I have seen many people in this just do questions business. And then you notice they've been studying for step one, step two CK for 2 months, 3 months, 4 months. Their scores are not budging. They are having trouble passing practice exams. So I encourage you, before you jump into these things, get some knowledge first. You will get a lot more from questions. Your time with questions will be more fruitful when you have a background, right? And if you want to know again exactly what you're supposed to do to acquire knowledge, look at the podcast I made last week, Monday, the Motivation Monday podcast. I talked about how to handle your dedicated period. Now, principle number two, how should you do your UWorld questions? So the thing is, if timing is a problem for you, always do your question sets timed. If timing is a problem for you, always do your question sets timed. Now, if timing is not a problem for you, then you can do your questions on timed tutor mode. If timing is not a problem, then timed tutor mode is absolutely fine. Now, the thing is, for the first half of your dedicated period, the thing that makes sense in general is to do your questions by subject. Again, many people will say, oh, Divine, what are you saying? Right? Again, I'm talking based on experience. I'm talking based on what I've seen work for many people, right? Because again, at the end of the day, UWorld for Step 2 CK, for example, has about 3,800, 3,900 questions. It's just going to be really challenging to be able to do all those questions if you're doing only 40 a day in a standard dedicated period for a U.S. medical student, right? So the thing is, for the first half of a dedicated period, do your questions by subject. You see many people, they're like, I always do questions random. Like, it's such a great thing. The thing is, the people for whom doing questions completely random all the time makes sense are people that have a very strong knowledge base, right? But if you're just starting out your dedicated period and you don't really know your left from your right, the smart thing you should do for yourself is do questions by subject. Because when you're starting off, you want to at least establish a core base of knowledge, right? So the thing is, if you're doing your questions by subject, your studying has focus. And the thing is, you're able to get things done quickly. And think about it. If, for example, in a day you do like 120, 160 UWorld OB/GYN questions, by the end of that day, you would have seen certain key core themes recurring over and over and over again. In doing that, you'll feel a lot more comfortable with OB/GYN, right? But think about it. You see some people, they've been doing questions random, and then they don't feel particularly solid about any given subject. Again, remember at the end of the day, when you're studying, you want to work on systematically eliminating your weaknesses and feeling comfortable with the core pieces of knowledge for each discipline. Now, so for the first half of the dedicated period, again, as I say, do your questions by subject. But for the second half, you're welcome to do your questions completely random. But again, in general, it is not wise. Doing your questions by subject for most of your dedicated period is usually the smart play. It's usually the more efficient play. So you may say, okay, Divine, how do I get randomized practice? Well, guess what? There's a lot of randomized practice you're going to be doing regardless during your dedicated period. All the MBME practice exams, MBME 9, MBME 10, MBME 11, the free 120s, right? The UWorld self-assessments, UWorld 1 and 2. Those things will help you with getting your randomization in, right? Again, many people do this random thing. But again, for most people, I'm not saying for all people, but for most people, it makes absolutely no sense, right? And the thing is, as you're doing your questions in UWorld, mark the ones you know you want to come back to and review really well, right? The ones that you truly, 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 truly know, don't mark them, right? Don't mark them. Because at the end of the day, because there are so many questions, you need to practice the principle of triage as you're doing your review, right? So as you're doing a block of 40 questions, mark the ones you know you want to come back to, right? Those ones you want to spend time reading the answer explanations. But the ones where you know the thought process, you feel comfortable about how you arrived at the answer, don't mark them. Don't mark them. I'm not saying you're not going to review them, but you're going to review them in a slightly different fashion from what most people do. So now, principle number three, right? How do you take notes on your world questions? Again, first, I think one thing that may help is, again, knowing the order in which you should review your UWorld questions. So in every block of 40 UWorld questions, the first set of questions you should review are the questions you got wrong. The questions you got wrong should be the very first questions you review. Now, the second line questions you should then review are questions you got right and marked, right? Remember that marking process I talked about, right? So the questions you got right that you marked, those should be the second set of questions you review. And then the third set of questions that you should review are those that you did not mark, okay? For these questions, you knew exactly what was being tested. You knew the exact factoid. You knew exactly what had to be done. For these questions, you really should not be reading the entire answer explanation. Read the objective, read the learning or, you know, educational objective at the end and move on. But now let me go into a little more detail, right? So how do you take notes on these questions? Well, the first thing is, read. So again, let's say, for example, like a question you get wrong, right? And again, I'm going to repeat some of these themes over and over again to firmly establish them in your mind, right? So the first thing you should do is read the entire answer explanation, right? So let's say if it's a question where you're like, you know what, I need to take notes on this question. Read the entire answer explanation, right? And the thing is, while you're reading the entire answer explanation, drop your pen. Drop your Word documents that you are taking notes into. Just read the answer explanation. Read all of it. After you've read the answer explanation, then ask yourself some targeted questions. And I will tell you what these targeted questions are. The first one is, what was the right answer? Why was it right? That is your first question. What was your right answer? Why was it right? In your own words, write this down as one sentence. Write out what the right answer was and why it was right. The second question you ask yourself is, what was the wrong answer and why was it wrong? What was the wrong answer and why was it wrong? In your own words as well, again, write this down as one sentence. And then finally, ask yourself, is there some high-yield piece of information mentioned in the first paragraph of the answer explanation or the educational objective, you know, at the end of the question that you just don't know, right? Summarize this thing in 1 to 2 sentences in your own words and write them down. Again, look at where I said. I said educational objective and the first paragraph of the answer explanation. That is where UWorld usually keeps the most important bits of information. And also, at least, thank God, the MBMEs these days have answer explanations, right? So the thing is, really, for any given question, so if you notice, I'm asking three different questions. And if you notice, I said basically like you're going to end up coming to like four sentences in your own words, right? So the thing is really for any given question, your notes should really be no more than 4 to 5 sentences maximum. Again, don't try to write paragraphs. You see some people, they are pretty much U-World transcriptors. They are transcribing U-World. The thing is, you don't end up getting as much from these detailed notes as you will think. Your job is to write down high-yield information that you don't know. Your job is to not transcribe the whole Q-bank, right? And the thing is, if you see something in U-World or on the MBMEs that you know, don't write it down. You're literally wasting your time. Because at the end of the day, that time you're wasting, one, is time you could have spent studying other things you don't know more effectively, right? And when you're then doing your review of your U-World journal or whatever, you end up spending copious amounts of time of review away from things you don't know well. Anytime you spend reviewing things you know well, then that's time not spent reviewing things you do not know well, right? Because the thing is, Q-banks, they have very long explanations of every single answer choice. But the thing is, the explanations for all those other answer choices that don't fit with these questions I asked you, you really should not be adding these things to your document. Again, you're pretty much wasting your time, right? Again, I tell people this, it's better to have a U-World journal that is like 30 pages long that you can go through multiple times, commit it to memory, and it's a high-yield document of things you just don't know or you feel weak on, than having a 500-page tome that you're not even able to go back to and review. And really, this advice I'm giving in this podcast applies for pretty much anyone taking step 1, step 2 CK, or step 3. Right? Now, the thing is, again, just to reiterate, if you encounter a question you get right based on correct reasoning, read the educational objective and move on. Don't read the entire answer explanation. Again, the thing is, one thing I maybe should say here is, one component of really doing well on the USMLEs, especially with people that have problems with timing or people that have problems with overthinking, is knowing when and having that confidence to just move on, right? To just move on. So that's something that, again, that just building the skill over time will really, really help you instead of stewing over every single thing. Now, principle number 4, again, what kinds of questions should you be taking notes on? Again, you shouldn't be taking notes on every single question. The only questions you should be taking notes on are two categories of questions. So the first category, right, are questions you just flat out get wrong, right? And then category number 2 are questions that you get right by chance, right? Again, you should not be writing notes for every single question. You see, again, people have these huge U-World journals, right? But then they are never able to go back and thoroughly read and review those journals. Again, if you have something that is smaller, something that is more manageable, something that is more high yield, something that contains all the things you don't know, you can review that thing multiple times. Now, principle number 5 is, how often should you review your notes? Your notes from like U-World, your notes from MBME practice exams. The recommendation I give people is, spend about 30 minutes at the end of every day reviewing these notes in a methodical fashion, right? So just go section by section, precept by precept, right? And then once a week, review the whole document over a few hours. The thing is, if you follow this mantra, you'll become very familiar with the material in that document pretty quickly, right? After a while, you will have it firmly committed to memory. Now, principle number 6, what if you encounter a topic, you know, in a question, and you have no idea what that topic is, right? And you're like, "Oh, Divine, how do I review stuff like this?" Let me tell you what you're supposed to do. Instead of taking detailed notes from U-World or from the MBMEs on this topic, make a topic list. You should have a running topic list of things that you're like, you know what, I really want to focus on these things and drill them down, right? So instead of taking these super detailed notes from your Q-Bank, write down this topic in a topic list. And then spend time reviewing it during your dedicated period, right? Because the thing is, as I said in my Motivation Monday podcast from last week, you should have dedicated time every day where you're literally working on your weaknesses, right? So you can work on these on this topic list of things that you don't feel comfortable with during those times, right? I have many special topics podcasts that address many of the common weaknesses people have on the USMLE exams, right? These are times that you can spend just reviewing things on, again, on your topic list of things that you really don't know. And the thing is, if there is a U-World answer explanation that you really like, you're like, wow, this U-World answer explanation is fire. This thing is like amazing. Write it down. Write down the question ID. And then go have like a list of high-yield U-World question IDs and go back and review those things, right? Again, that will save you good quality time. The thing is, when you're studying, you want to have a rhythm. You want to have flow, right? When you're just spending hours and hours, let's say, I mean, like, it's really unconscionable when you see people spending 4 or 5 hours reviewing a U-World block, right? It kind of kills their flow. They're not able to get much done. And then psychologically, they kind of put themselves down, right? Because they see how slow they are going, right? Now, one other thing I want to say is that if there is a question you got wrong because of a factoid you don't know, right? It's not like an understanding problem. It's just, oh, wow, this thing, I just don't have this memorized. Just write down that factoid, right? You don't have to memorize every single detail. No, just write down that factoid you did not know and move on. Right? Again, the concepts that you should really spend time like reading up on are concepts that involve processes, concepts that involve reasoning that you currently do not have. Right? Those are the things where you should like, okay, let me break out a resource, spend like 10, 15 minutes, really go over this topic and really get it strong in my mind. Now, principle number 7 is what should be your target for the amount of time you spend reviewing your questions? Well, the thing is, taking a 40 question block requires an hour of time, right? The thing is, you should really target to spend no more than an hour and a half reviewing a 40-question block. And this is something you can get to with practice, right? So really, spend no more than 2 minutes reviewing any U-World question, right? Spend no more than 2 minutes on this endeavor, right? Again, if you are doing these things as I'm telling you to, you'll notice that in 2 minutes, maybe in some cases 3 minutes, you'll be done with reviewing a question. And in those questions where you had the correct reasoning, it may take you like 30 seconds to a minute to review them, right? So at the end of the day, everything will kind of balance out to an hour and a half. Because if you think about it, if you can even get yourself down to like an hour for, okay, so let's say an hour and a half, right, for 40 questions, right? So let's say you spend an hour doing the questions, an hour and a half reviewing them, just 2.5 hours, right? Basically, you can get through 4 U-World blocks in 10 hours. Right? And then you can maybe tack on like 2-3 hours to your day and do some extra studying. Now, principle number 8, right? So what are some special considerations with MBME questions, right? Because I mean, this podcast applies to both U-World questions and MBME questions. The thing is, for MBME questions, you do need to take time in reviewing them. To be honest with you, when you take MBME practice exams, I usually tell people, so you don't get overwhelmed, review it over like a few days, right? The thing is, in reviewing MBME questions, you don't want to spend time only on reviewing content. You also want to spend time picking up on test taking strategy, right? So the thing is, ask yourself specifically, outside of the content, is there any issue with your process of answering the question? Right? Was there any issue that made you answer the question wrong? Right? Like a non-content issue, right? Did you like fall for a distractor? Or did you misread the question? Or did you make assumptions? Did you base your answer on information that was not expressly written in the question? Right? Did you change answers from right to wrong? The thing is, you want to tear down MBME questions as seriously as you can, right? The thing is, QBanks are there to help you with content. The MBMEs are there to help you with content and test taking strategy. Right? So as you're doing MBME questions, you really want to spend time refining your test taking acumen. And for those of you that are going to be taking your USMLE Step 2 CK or Step 3 exams within the next few days, I do have 2 review courses coming up. There are 2 separate courses that pretty much target 2 key areas of the exam, right? So the first review course is knowing how to take the test, right? Again, to do well on MBME exams, you cannot just be good on content. You need to be an excellent test taker. The MBME, they have a very standardized series of traps that they lay out for people in questions. Very standardized format they use in writing questions. Very standardized format they use in writing their correct answers and their distractor answers. Very standardized format in the way they write questions. that they know many people may not be able to answer correctly, right? The thing is, these are patterns I've been able to spot and clearly point out from all my years of teaching people, all my years of doing and reviewing MBME practice questions, right? So the thing is, I do offer a 2.5-hour course that will make you very, very proficient with test taking. I mean, we had this course last week, and I've had people already take the exams since they took the course, and they were like, wow, this thing helped me a lot on my exam, right? And the thing is, we also review how to correctly answer ethics questions. I actually have one of these classes coming up on the 6th of this month, of next month. That's next week, Monday, from 2 to 4:30 p.m. Pacific Standard Time. That's like 5 to 7:30 p.m. Eastern. And then the second thing is content, right? So my second review course is a content review course. So the thing is, I'm not a believer in stock lectures at all, right? I mean, step 2 CK, step 3 exams, they're basically exams that focus on a series of scenarios, right? There are some of these scenarios that are more high yield than others. Again, the MBME, in their own special way, they are very good at disease scripts, right? They have just certain key patterns they love testing for certain bits of material, right? And then there are also some other unusual bits of material that they test that major Q banks don't emphasize, right? So for example, you know, you may see Q banks harp on big things like on some big topics in Pete's cardiology. But then you notice that, man, you're taking Pete's cardiology MBME questions and you're getting them wrong, right? Again, the MBME just has a certain series of things that they love to focus on. So the thing is, this review course I have, I basically try to bring many of these classic MBME patterns from PEDS, surgery, IM, OB-GYN, psych, neuro, biostats, multi-system processes and disorders, ethics, communication, professionalism, right? I've turned them into about 2,000 scenarios, 2,000 vignettes, you know, 2,000 like questions that kind of revolve around vignettes, scenarios, audience response questions. We'll review them over a 3D period. I usually have these courses from time to time. The next one is going to be from the 7th to the 9th of September. That's next week, Tuesday to Thursday. It's going to be from 8 to noon and from 1 to 5 p.m. Pacific Standard Time, right? I pretty much spend time discussing these scenarios during the course. And again, you're going to get 3 benefits from attending the course. First, you're going to learn the material from an exam-like perspective. Again, not a lecture. I'm going to give it as a scenario, right? As context, so that you're like not just learning the content. You're seeing, okay, this is how they will apply it in an exam question. And then the thing is, the second benefit is at the same time you're learning the material really, really well, right? If you've listened to my podcast, you know that I go through all the pains of thoroughly discussing mechanisms. You will learn mechanisms during the course, right? And then finally, at the end of the day, you know, I spend, at the end of every hour, I allocate time to answering people's questions, right? The thing is, most people that attend the course, they end up having about 120 to 130 or so plus pages worth of notes from the course, right? And then they pretty much use this as their content review for the entire dedicated period, right? And then they spend an hour they spend time hitting up specific weaknesses. But really, there are many people that have attended the course where that's the course material is their content review. And then they do their UWorld questions and the practice exams. And then they end up doing really well on their tests. Again, I've had many people take the course and get as high as the 270s on the USMLE exams. I've definitely had many people have very strong score improvements after taking the review course and the test taking course. So I do, again, have my podcasts on Apple Podcasts, on Google Podcasts, on Spotify. So subscribe to those podcast apps, look for the Divine Intervention podcast, and you can find those there. And then there's a new podcast that I've started making. It's called the Divine Intervention Life Lessons podcast. Again, many people have emailed me saying, oh wow, Divine, I really love your life lessons that you put at the end of your podcast. So I decided to have a separate website that, you know, just focuses on Bible-based teaching, but these are all podcasts that are less than 10 minutes long, and they just emphasize a life lesson like humility or dealing with opposition, things like that, right? And I discuss these life lessons. So the website for that is divineinterventionlifelessons.com. If you go on Apple Podcasts, actually, and look for Divine Intervention Life Lessons, I actually have the podcast on that podcast app. Again, my goal is to put like 2 or 3 of those podcasts up every week. Right now, I believe I'm on episode 16 or something like that. And then I have a YouTube channel, Divine Intervention USMLE Podcasts and Videos. If you go there and subscribe, that's where I put all my videos. And then again, if you subscribe to the website I have, divineinterventionpodcast.com, you'll get an email notification whenever I make a new podcast. And then I also offer one-on-one tutoring for all the USMLE exams, step one, step two CK, step three, preclinical med school exams, third year shelf exams. And I also help with ERAS applications with recommendation letters, personal statements, editing ERAS applications, especially if you have a tricky application. Let's say you have red flags, you failed the USMLE exam, or you graduated from med school a long time ago, right? Or you have like, you know, if you have tricky parts of your application, I'm very good at navigating those scenarios for people. So just shoot me an email through the website and I'll give you some more information and take you from there. Now, the life lesson I want to talk about today is the importance of being organized. The importance of being organized, right? So the thing is, the people that you see in life that accomplish things quickly, efficiently, and accurately are people that are organized, right? Many times in life, you can get many things done, right? You can restore order to a chaotic process by being organized. You see many people, their dedicated periods are just an absolute nightmare, absolute disaster, because they have no form of organization. Or you see people, they're residents and they have like three patients on their list, or they are assigned three patients. They start seeing these patients, let's say they get three new admissions. They start seeing these new admissions at 9 a.m. And before they've seen these patients, written their notes and everything, it's 4 p.m. The other team has come in, the afternoon or the night team has come in to take over, right? It shouldn't be so. You need to be organized. Many people in medicine, believe it or not, are very disorganized, right? And then you wonder why it's taking you forever to get your tasks done. You wonder why you're not fulfilling your potential. Well, the way you can fulfill your potential is by being organized. Even the Bible says that we should write the vision. I think it's in the book of Habakkuk, right? Write the vision, make it plain, right? So you can run with it, right? Have a vision. Be organized, right? Like you watch certain TV shows where like the kids are out of control in the family and everything is all chaotic in the family. But once rules are introduced, once some kind of organization is introduced, everything in that family begins to take a turn for the better, right? So organize your life. Have a time you wake up. Have a time where you do your personal devotion. Have a time where you read. Have a time where you sleep. Have a time where you're entertained with TV or whatever, right? Just don't approach each day like you see people say, oh, you know, wherever the wind blows is where I will go. Let's see how the day goes. No. I'm not a big subscriber to that whole... Actually, I'm a non-subscriber to this whole concept of let me see how the day goes. No. You can control your day. Take charge of your day, right? Engage with your day, right? The thing is, your day, you don't realize this, but your day is something that has been entrusted to you, right? Even the Bible says, redeeming the time because the days are evil. Don't waste your days. Don't waste your time, right? You see people, they wake up and because they have no organization in their day, they just burn the whole day and they get nothing done. You see some people, they have like a six-week dedicated period given to them by their schools. But because they have no form of organization whatsoever, they burn 4 weeks of that time. And then 2 weeks to the end, they're like, oh no, what is going on? And then I get these emails from people with these long scripts of, oh, divine, oh, this is happening, oh, da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da. But then you look through the story and then you ask yourself, this is just a problem of organization, right? Organize yourself. I'm not saying you shouldn't reach out to me, but organize yourself, right? When you're organized, when you have a solid plan, you shouldn't be making a solid plan halfway through your dedicated period. No, you should be making a solid plan well before your dedicated period starts. And when you know that a plan is solid, stick with it. Many people like to jump from one thing to the other, jump from one thing to the other. If something doesn't work for 2 days, boom, they immediately jump from it. No. Right? We have this drive-through mentality in this world these days. People are not willing to like grovel through something, like strive through something, right? And get things done. They want everything easy. They want everything handed down to them. No, it's not supposed to be that way. Anything good that you get in life comes because you invested time in it. You invested effort in it. You put in the right amount of work in it. So I'm going to get off my soapbox now, but I wish you all the best. I hope you find this podcast to be helpful. Thank you. God bless you. I'll see you next time.